Welcome, everybody. This is Bart Sharpe at Becoming Quantum Conscious on United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network on Roku, cable television, UPRN website, Facebook, YouTube, Spreaker, and other internet platforms, broadcasting all over the world, and of course, broadcasting from the beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana, which we are not there today. I am in Bougival, and this is a beautiful suburb west of Paris, where the streets are called Claude Monet Rue, or Rue, I call it Claude Monet, and Berthe Morisot's home is just around the corner, and Versailles is just a couple of miles away, and you can see the golden domes in the distance if you catch it on the right day. And on the right hill in Giverny, where Monet painted all of his good stuff, or some of his good stuff, is just right down the road. So we are talking about history and everything like that, and good food and good coffee and the best chocolate chaud you can ever imagine. That would be hot chocolate, in case you're curious. And that's my life today. Next week, it'll be someplace else. I'll keep you in the mystery about where that is. But today we're going to Egypt and Cairo, Egypt, to have a little chat with Karina Chrysler. And of course, the last few months, of course, Karina was on the show January 4th. And so welcome to the show, Karina. I'm so glad you were here. You really kicked off something with talking about all the predictions between January 4th and April 8th, the great eclipse. How was the eclipse in Egypt?
Well, we didn't get to see it, but we ended up having a sandstorm. At the time, I was living right by the pyramids, and around like 2 or 3, it went all dark. And then I looked outside and you could barely see the pyramids. And then this perfume smell came through our apartment. Like, I was just like, what is happening? So even though we didn't get to see the actual eclipse itself, there was still nature definitely reacted to what was happening in the sky.
Yes,
Hakeem was in Luxor, so yes, he got to see like a little bit of a different view from there. But
wow. Well, I had I was in Peak de Bougarache, the famous Stargate Mountain, in the Aude region in southwest France, and for the week prior to that, all of these energetic phenomenon and activations were happening in my body, and I just felt like I was floating in a different reality. And then the week afterwards, or beginning right at the eclipse, it just felt like I had a post-eclipse hangover for 4 days. It was just really like, oh my God. And then, of course, I traveled to Paris. So what an adventure. But, you know, when you were talking about all the things that were happening up to the eclipse, you know, it really brings in that mystery. And just to let you know that Karina is Chrysler is a astrologer supreme. I don't know anybody that gives a better reading than Karina. And so much of it is based in not only traditional, but Ayurvedic and Egyptian astrology. Am I getting you right on that?
More Egyptian. I definitely bring the aspects of the Netters, the gods and goddesses, into my readings now. But I focus mostly on evolutionary astrology, which is why the eclipses are so important to me as well, because it works with the nodes of the moon. And those are all about cycles and looking at our evolutionary cycles. So when you have an eclipse, for those that really follow those sort of cycles in astrology, you know, it's one of our exciting times that we look for, especially a total solar eclipse. And what was happening, you know, at the same time, it wasn't just the eclipse that we were feeling. We were in a Mercury retrograde. So our messenger was, you know, in the underground at the time, creating a little bit more chaos than normal. And it was conjunct Chiron. So like to the minute conjunct, perfect alignment to Chiron, which is the wounded healer in astrology. So it was not just this great event of an eclipse, but the alignment of the other aspects as well that made it even more powerful.
I'm very curious with Chiron, the wounded healer. What kind of effect would that multiply and expand with an eclipse? I mean, a wounded healer changing and evolving. And then, of course, in the last interview we were talking about in January 4th, it was all of these, the Pluto in Aquarius, which was all about the shadows and all of those wounds, you know, repressed, and then they're coming out. And, and you know, if you're willing to deal with it. So does that all have a connection?
Yeah, so especially because this eclipse was in Aries. And Aries, and it was working with the North Node energy, so that mountain we're climbing, that energy we want to move into for our evolution, more futuristic kind of energy. So when you have Chiron in that mix, then there is the opportunity of profound healing of self. And this is what we're in right now. We're in an Aries-Libra axis with this eclipse. So we're working with, you know, who am I now? How have I lived my life that maybe was not just to myself? And we're really trying to, you know, remove the imprints of others, remove the imprints of societies, remove the imbalance in our life where maybe we've self-sacrificed or we haven't been true to ourselves because of the influence of others. And so when you have Chiron in this mix, there's an opportunity of profound healing in this realm. Wow. And I think a lot of people are awakening to, you know, what boundaries they might need, you know, how maybe their relationships haven't been positive, or looking at their relationships and how maybe that's changed themselves or their past or the decisions that they make. So Chiron is here. The transiting Chiron always offers healing in whatever house or whatever area of your chart it's in. So now we have this time to heal ourselves.
Wow. Good thing to pay attention to. It's like, what can you change in your life that you could actually actualize how great you are? And what are you willing to let go of? What are you willing to become?
Yeah. And that Libra gateway, the gateway in evolutionary astrology, is the one between Virgo and Libra. The south node is in Libra. So the south node is the energy, that's the real opportunity of changing the cycle. The south node tends to keep us in a pattern because it feels safe. It's what it knows. So it has a tendency when we have these big activations to bring out our insecurities and our fears and, you know, where we have our self-doubt in that area. And to cross that gateway, we have to really understand, and this is something I just taught in a mentorship group, is how the poison of others can prevent us from our healing journey and then taking that healing journey out into the world. So it's like changing from the lunar path to the solar path. The lunar path is all about your internal world. The solar path is all about what you do in the external world with it. So we have this opportunity now to really understand, like, how have I been hiding? Why am I hiding? Who's influencing me? The competitive, you know, being competitive with others, maybe not feeling supported by others. And in those sort of, you know, judgments, we tend to then step back and repress who we are and who and our personal power. And this is all opening this up to say, wait a second, nobody has that power over you. You know, we're all interconnected to God. So if you look at this, and this is a big lesson Hakeem has taught me, you know, we look at that statements of I am. So if I am divine, then I have my own power and I'm protected and I'm going to cross this gateway. And this is all what this eclipse is trying to instill with us.
Wow.
It's a big one.
It is. And of course, I'm not that great in astrology, but from what I understand about it, Aquarius, it's a concept of all options are open for us. Mm-hmm. And we can create a lot of great stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that seems to be playing. Am I following you correctly?
Aquarius is what Pluto is in now. So we have this now with this eclipse energy. We also have this Aquarian energy coming through with Pluto, and Pluto is the planet of power and will go to those places within ourselves that maybe we're afraid of or afraid to look at, or we haven't dealt with our deep fears, and pull them up to be seen. Mm. And this is what empowers us. This is why, you know, when you see something, you can't unsee it. So you have to do the work. You don't actually have to do the work. There's a lot of people that are going to stay in a cycle, and yeah, it's just their path and destiny at this point in time. But those that can see it will grab onto this energy of the Aquarian energy, which is empowering, you know, the greater all, the collective consciousness, the information, the ideas that are swirling around us, because energy is never destroyed. And how do we capture that and empower ourselves to kind of move forward in this grand awakening time? The other thing with Aquarius energy too is, so when you ask me, well, what do we do now with this eclipse? So the first thing with the eclipse is we have to understand that it was an initiation. Aries energy is cardinal fire. It's ruled by cardinal fire. So cardinal fire is what pushes us. It's like, it's what makes us move and take that leap of faith. So it initiates us into a cycle. So we've just been initiated. Now we'll see how the eclipse sort of, you know, where the pieces land in terms of what our next story is. And a really good exercise before I get into this Aquarius energy is to go back to 2005, 2006. This would have been the last time the nodes were in this axis, this Aries Libra axis. And sometimes it's hard to do this. Sometimes you have to go back to your pictures and or emails and kind of look like what was going on in my life. But go back and look at the major themes that were happening. And just notice if there's anything that comes through that is the same now. Because this will tell you, am I still stuck in the same cycle?
Good point. 2005, 2006, folks, start looking at your life. I'm going to just repeat this because I think we need to give the listeners just a little bit of time to reflect. What was going on in your life that seems to be reoccurring now? Because that's how psychology works. I mean, for example, what we did not resolve as a 2 and 3 year old that was repressed will come back when you're 12, 13, 14 years old, when we begin that beginning cycles of adulthood as a teenager, that wonderful age of puberty. So it's the same concept that we're, you know, what were you struggling with? That does. And here it is at this time, they kind of get influenced again, if I'm hearing you correctly.
That's right. And this is the great gift of astrology. It teaches us cycles, right? And it's usually quite profound with the timing of really needing to look at this. So the way you would look at it, I mean, that was a long time ago, you know? So even if I didn't know how to break that cycle then, now this is what I know. I've been through this. I'm not the same person. I have more wisdom. I've gone through something. I'm not the same person at that time. So what am I going to do about it now? And maybe it's changed a little bit. Maybe you've adjusted a little bit, but to have the awareness of the cycle that you're repeating, especially this one, because this one is saying, like, be who you are. Be empowered with who you are. Take your talents, take your desires, take your gifts, and go into the world with them. Regardless, no one has the power over you to say otherwise. It's your choice. It's your right. It's you being the warrior for your life. That's what Aries energy is all about, is being the warrior for your life. Who am I? And I'm going to fight for this. So if you can go back and just see, I keep repeating this pattern. And you'll probably notice it the most in relationships.
Yes. In sexuality, but also inventing your dreams.
Yep.
Those types of things. How would you like to be amongst others? Mm-hmm. What are you not expressing that if you did would feel very fulfilling?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Libra energy is the energy of Mat in Egypt. And Mat is all about justice, but she's also about cosmic order. So we have this opportunity to have this great realignment with our star map, with who we are. Like, what was my essence coming into this world before I had all these experiences? If I was actually nurtured for my nature and was able to flow in that, who would I be without all the other stuff? And I mean, that's part of life. That's what we have. That's what we've come here to do, is to evolve from those experiences. But it's all about kind of coming back to that star map to be true to who you are. And when we're not, then the injustice happens, the imbalance happens. And then we start repressing our power. I work with so many women that are so afraid of their power because of how it's going to affect their lives in different ways, their relationships. Well, what if this person hears about this? And then how is that going to affect me? And then they don't do it.
Yeah. How much do we say, well, I would love to be this, but if I did, my partner or my parents or others would not understand me, and they would react to me, and therefore we shrink.
Yeah.
And that's a lot about what Aquarian is can you have that type of freedom to allow yourself? Is that, am I getting that right?
Yes, Aquarians detach easily from, they're ruled by air energy. So they're kind of always connected to this consciousness, and they do not like suffering. They don't like to see unjust suffering because they're connected. When we think of being connected to everything, then of course we're not going to be vicious to somebody, or not have at least compassion, or, react in a way where we would create harm to either the environment or to others, because we're connected to all. So Aquarians have this, my father's an Aquarian. One of my best friends is Aquarian, and I always have to sort of help them understand what they feel is so connected to the greater all. It's not necessarily theirs. And if we thought of this a little bit more, I think a lot of people would act differently. And the Aquarian energy is being activated right after this eclipse. So there's two activations in 2024 that are my favorite. The total solar eclipse was one. And the next one is the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus. That happens on April 20th.
The Jupiter Uranus conjunction on April 20th.
Yes. So it's when the planet Uranus, which rules Aquarian energy, and Jupiter, which rules the energy of Sagittarius, but of expanding whatever it's working with. So it's expanding this Aquarian energy. Aligns in the house or in the sign of Taurus, which, you can look at, you're a Taurus, right? Mm-hmm. So you can look at Taurus.
I'm a Taurus.
Yeah,
that's
the bull.
That's a sign for Taurus.
Yeah,
in sign language, American sign language, that is.
Taurus is ruled by Venus. And in Taurus, Venus is about what we love in a materialistic type of way. So our atmosphere, our surroundings, things, money, she shows up in more of a materialistic way. Where in Libra, she shows up in who we love. So you can look at Taurus in a very materialized way of how we like materialize our desire. But we can also look at Taurus as the energy of Hathor, the bull, mm-hmm. the cow. And the Hathor energy is God. You know, she is the cosmic mother, and she is part of every living thing that happens on this earth. She's connected to primordial water, which births everything. So you can look at Taurus energy as very strongly connected to the divine feminine and how we birth things into the world. And this would be largely connected to what I desire. So in evolutionary astrology, you start with Aries, you know, who am I? The second house is Taurus. What do I desire? What do I want in this life? And the third house in Gemini is, well, then how do I express that? Mm-hmm. And Taurus is just so important to also ground the air energy, which is Aquarius. So we have Uranus going through Taurus for several years now, changing. Well, we can see, you know, it's been changing money. It's been changing like how people work. It's been changing what we actually really want. You know, a lot of people are changing their lifestyles and how they've always lived and how they've spent money and all these things to follow what they actually really desire, like being in nature, being grounded to the earth, being connected to the earth. So it's been changing all of this. So now Jupiter coming into this realm is a huge expander. It's going to give us the wisdom, the expansion. And I personally think it's one of the greatest awakenings of this Uranus energy that we'll probably experience in our lifetime, in this lifetime. So we've been shooken up by this eclipse. Look at the cycles, create this initiation in your life of who you are. And then we have this next conjunction that's kind of blow our minds open a little bit of what we're actually connected to and how we can ground that into our lives and what we want.
So I want to ask you a question in regard to this, because this is coming Saturday night.
Yes.
Is that correct? Ooh. I mean, in France, and there's not much to do at nighttime. So I'm just thinking what I want to be doing on Saturday night. What kind of rituals or prayers or exercises would you recommend for somebody that really wants to capitalize on this initiating energy?
Okay, so if you want to connect to Hathor, my personal advice to this is you have to get into the body. For anything with this energy, Uranus is a planet that I look at like an umbilical cord that takes you to your higher self. So think mm-hmm. of Uranus like this planet that has the ability to connect you to your higher soul. And it uh-huh. remembers, it can remember everything that your soul has been through. So with Jupiter coming into this energy to expand this, there's a huge recall that we can do, which is what I also would call an awakening of my soul calling and what I've come here to do. Your soul resides in your body, so you have to connect to your body, because Aquarian energy is very easy to stay out here, you know, in the thoughts, in the mind, you know, like I get this idea, like, you know, sometimes I think you and I have talked about this before, is if I don't write it down, it can go like the idea I've had such great ideas at times, and then I wake up and then I don't write it down and it's gone, and it's gone for good. It's gone to the next person. So you want to be able to capture this air energy, and Hathor is all about being in your body, and so is Taurus. So that as above, so below, as within, so without is, you know, the X marks the spot kind of energy to really capture how strong and powerful this can be. So Hathor, sorry, go ahead.
No, it just sounds like I'm just thinking about, well, what will I be doing on Saturday? Maybe I will be, because I'm very much an earth person, and I get so much strength and power from meditating and actually connecting with the deep places in the earth and bringing that into my embodiment. And this may be being in this question about, well, what do I want to become as a, this, what do I want to empower in my life in this creative process of in using that earth energy, maybe also asking for what have I not actualized that's inside of me that I could start to use to take me to this next stage of self-empowerment.
Yep.
Maybe that would be really good questions to be asking at this time.
Yeah.
But be thinking about what is the planets and what is the sources of earth, sun, et cetera, that really I have an affinity to. Maybe those would be good things.
Yeah. And the breath. So connect to the breath. One of the easiest exercises that you can do to bring consciousness into the body and regulate it with your nervous system, because that's what it's all about, is understanding that the cosmos has a frequency that affects our nervous system. Our nervous system is like an antenna, right, to pick up these frequencies. So by being in the body, connecting to the frequency, allowing the breath, which brings the air in, and connects it to the vagus nerve, which is part of our nervous system, then you're connecting with the frequencies that are available to you. And this is a time of remembering. So what you want to possibly, or the invitation could definitely be, is if you are a seeker and you are, you know, questioning things about your life or asking questions or what do you want to know, this is the time to start asking and trusting what you feel in your body. This isn't necessarily such a mental thing. We stay in our mental mind almost too much, where our bodies, you know, can create the emotion, which is like, you know, the response from the soul, in my opinion.
It's almost like cooking in a good soup. You know, you're asking, I love this concept you're talking about, that the nervous system extending out, and that would be extending out to the planets such as Venus or Uranus or Jupiter, and that those vibrations come in through your nervous system and go to something very central, like your vagal nerve, maybe your second chakra, other places. And you're just asking for that to all percolate inside of your body, like a good soup. You don't exactly know how the soup's going to taste, but you put the ingredients in, and something delicious hopefully shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you there?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
I can. We had a little blip.
We're not blipping. Okay, good. For women, and I'm sure this happens to men. I just personally work with women in this realm. But for women, when we connect to the vagus nerve, this is the vagus nerve begins at least on a physical level at the cervix, and the cervix is that portal, right, that takes us from the physical into the womb, into the cosmic. So we can look at this almost, this is very Hathor energy too. This whole birthing process is taking, you know, we live in such a physical, like tangible, logical world. But what if we allowed an awakening or an opening of our minds, of our consciousness, of our bodies, to extend out to receive some of that cosmic energy. And this is how I believe remembering happens. Wow. So by bringing in the breath, connecting to the cervix, like a lot of women don't even think, you know, of this beautiful access point, power point of energy in the body as being one of our power centers. And it's the same, it's sacral for men. But like I said, I don't specifically work in that realm with men, at least not yet. But for women, it's a huge opener to reconnect with that part of our body and our power center and who we are and that divine feminine energy and find that balance, you know, in the body too, of the masculine and the feminine energy.
And all done in astrology, which you can get to really get to know Corina a little bit better. You can go to our website, www.corinachrysler.com. And that is spelled CRYSLER. Mm-hmm. And check her out. She's her readings are phenomenal. I've had one and it kind of set me straight for the year. And I was having a lot of struggles, a lot of challenges at that time. And it's just interesting how that has integrated so easily and well, which is another story. But I just want to say the call letters because we're at midpoint in the show. Today we have our guest, Corina Chrysler, and this is Becoming Quantum Conscious. And my name is Bart Sharp. And you are at United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network on Roku, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, UPRM website, and other internet platforms. And Corina is a former, well, she's still a resident of Canada, but yet she's not there where it's nice and cold. She is where it's nice and warm in Egypt, in the Cairo area, and married to a lovely man named Hakeem Iwan, who has been on the show, and I hope we'll have him back as soon as possible, because they are a most fascinating couple doing Egyptian tours. One is coming up in October, but it's an astrological historical of Kemetic Egyptian history, which is basically looking at how the ancients made history, not more the typical archaeological interpretations of Egyptian history. This goes a lot deeper and it makes a lot more sense. And they do tours where the astrology and the chematology marry together to make something special. Because if you go into these places, like a pyramid or tomb on the right astrological setting, it is much cooler.
Yeah, we customize. Our tours around the stars. You can't always make it perfect, but we definitely pick times of higher energies, or at least utilize some of the temples and some of the moon cycles or, you know, activations that we're having. But speaking of this, Hakeem's grandfather predicted this time without being an astrologer. I've never been in love with someone that I've so much that I've never met.
This is the grandfather who was one of the inventors of Egyptian chematology.
Yeah, Abdul Hakeem Iwan. My husband is the first grandson of him. And he's known as one of the greatest Egyptologists and wisdom keepers of ancient Egyptian teachings. And he used to say in the 70s, late 70s, that we were coming out of, he believed very much in the five phases of the sun. And this is something you get Hakim to teach you, not me.
but just tell us what you know about it.
Yeah, I will.
You're not leaving the show until you tell us.
And he believed that we were in the amoon period of the phase of the sun, which is when the sun goes below, below the horizon. That's the word I was looking for, and becomes not seen. It's the phase of darkness. And the amoon priests were the ones also that eventually took a lot of our information or hid it or changed things. And it became a time when a lot of information and a lot of knowledge was hidden. And this turned into, you know, a very dark period of history as well. And it's one of the longest phases of the sun. And he believed that we were moving out of this phase of the sun and moving into the phase of Hepler, which is the scarab beetle that you see with the wings and the sun above it. Mm. And the Hepler is when we move, when the sun peaks over the horizon and brings light back. So in the 70s, he was talking, late 70s, he was talking that we were moving. He was an Aquarian too. We were moving from this amoon period, this hidden dark period where information and power was taking away from the people, basically, into a time of light. And I said to Hakim, well, he's on an astrological level. Well, he's right. You know, we are being activated in this time of Aquarius. There's a lot of different there's a lot of different theories of when this might have happened. I believe personally it happened at the end of 2019 was the activation, the big one. But this conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus in Taurus is sort of the push into that Hepler sort of energy of moving into the light, a new beginning, a brand new cycle, you know, where we are in the energetics of illumination instead of darkness.
Wow.
Yeah.
It just sounds so spot on.
Yeah.
I mean, with this time, if you just look at it as just pure astrology, they would be saying it's very much kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Hakim and I often, you know, we come from two different backgrounds in terms of our information and our values and our what we believe in. But they always sort of merge into the same thing. We just come to it in a different way. And astrology is just a way to look at divine timing of things, you know, to look at the cycles, to understand, okay, this is the calling now. And you can see it in the world. You can see people waking up. You can see people not believing everything that they're reading or hearing, you know, or the information that is hidden, people are looking for now.
Yes.
And this is why things are changing, you know?
I so agree. And going back to my hometown of Austin, Texas, and being around, I'm lucky enough to be around various generations from their 20s to their 60s in age of people, more on a liberal bent, but they are waking up to different things, and they're different. They're looking for these things that only a few people were looking for 30 years ago. It's always amazing to me how that is happening. And of course, the eclipse went right through Austin. And of course, it was a cloudy day, but it didn't matter. People were out there. It doesn't matter if you're seeing the eclipse. It matters if you are willing to receive the vibrations of it. Would you agree with that theory?
Yeah. And also where it's happening in your chart. Like, so I quickly looked at your chart.
Oh, go into
for the, if you,
we're going to expose this to,
if I can talk about your personal chart. So the eclipse would happen in your first house. So first house is naturally ruled by Aries. You have a Pisces rising sign. So your first house starts in Pisces at 27 degrees, which is my sun sign, by the way. So that's why we get along so well. Okay. But you start with Pisces and you move into Aries for the first for your first house. So this eclipse would have happened in your first house, saying, you know, being extra potent with who am I now? The things we were talking about, really standing in your power. I mean, look at your expansion over since we've met, you know. This is really your activation or your initiation into self, into really who you are, and healing a lot of the things that maybe have prevented you from doing that in the past. And this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction happens in your second house. So you're lucky because the energy of the houses matches the signs for you. So then it can flow a lot easier. There's not conflicting energies of signs in your houses. So now it's about, you know, what do I want to materialize? What am I awakening to? What do I really want in this life? Like, maybe the decisions that you wouldn't have made for yourself because they were belief systems or subconscious beliefs that, you know, I don't deserve this, or I'm not worthy of this, or I should do it this way because this is how I was taught. This is all going to change for you. So I think you're in a very pivotal moment of actually feeling quite free.
Mm. And also thinking about, well, why not do that? I'm sitting in this Bougival in this house, very expansive house, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, I got to write another book. I'm writing down notes and getting ideas, and it just seems so easy. And it's like, well, why can't it be easy? Why can't you just have fun writing this book? Maybe that's what's up for me amongst other things.
Well, Neptune just crossed your ascendant, and Saturn will. Let's talk about Neptune first. When Neptune crosses your rising sign, which would only happen once in a lifetime because it takes almost 200 years for Neptune to go around your birth chart. So you've just been activated in that Pisces soul energy that can take you. Neptune allows you to go to like those places. You know, Neptune rules our dream world, our intuition, music, how we sort of connect to consciousness. So as you're having this sort of breakthrough of who I am, you're going to get a lot of these ideas, a lot of these concepts, a lot of these downloads that are literally never have experienced before.
Wow.
You also have Saturn ending in your 12th house in Pisces. And once it crosses your ascendant, I think you can expect your atmosphere to be very different. So if you wanted to move, or you wanted to change things, or you have like a dream, like what are your dreams that you're working on right now? That's all going to be, I think, adjusted towards this sort of new phase. Saturn can be a real pain, you know, sometimes, because it's rigid tendencies and it tends to really show us the limitations that we've put on ourselves. But in Pisces, it's very uncomfortable. So it's kind of a good placement for you. There's lots of liberation. This is why I feel like you're going to feel very free in the next year or so, in terms of feeling liberated from the past and any suffering that you've personally held. So now with this conjunction, just pay attention to, you know, any worth cycles, any cycles where you've doubted your worthiness or capabilities or true desires. And remember those I am statements to like break that cycle of doubt, you know.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And let's not make this all about me. Let's think about the question, what's beyond April 20th for this year, for in general, for others in the world and in this dynamic new time?
I think it's, to be brutal honest, I think it's a tough year, because the first part of this year has been so activating. And what we can expect when we work with Uranus and Aquarius energy, so we have Pluto in Aquarius right now, and we have this conjunction, is we can expect change. Uranus can be quite chaotic in what it's trying to do, because what it does is it remembers its sort of soul mission, and the soul mission of this time for the greater all, and will do things to create change to bring us back into alignment. So we all have a kind of a personal mission, I think, in this year, of being very true to ourselves, working on ourselves, healing ourselves, so that the greater all, the greater collective consciousness, can step into this new time. So it can feel, it can feel like a lot. You know, I work with a lot of people. I see a lot of birth charts. I hear a lot of, you know, what people are going through, and there's a similar thread of changing, of relationships changing, of where I live changing, what I'm doing is changing. So I think you can kind of expect that a little bit this year. And the more you surrender into what's being shown to you, you know, what is, you know, if you keep going for something and there's all these like obstacles, like maybe it's time to really reevaluate and come back into alignment with what is actually your truth. So on a global level, I think you can expect some chaos. There's always sort of a rebellious energy with Uranus. And this is the energy that's being expanded right now. So I think you can expect that on a global level. Pluto will go back into Capricorn in the fall, in September. So it hasn't, a lot of people talked about, you know, it's gone into Aquarius, it's done. It's not done. It's Capricorn mission. And this goes back to looking at our systems, our structures, our government, you know, our banks, and really going back and going, what did we miss? So we're in a year of a little bit of a wobble, you know, we're moving forward, and then we've got to take a moment and readjust. Saturn will also go into retrograde. All the planets, you know, eventually go into retrograde, but, well, not all of them, but the evolutionary planets do. And in those times, we have to realign and readjust.
Wow. It's almost what I hear you're saying with the Pluto energy is that we're going to just keep reviewing back into the past and trying to reference that. But then suddenly coming in the fall, we will step out of that. We will say, no, we need to work on something of a higher idea, like what's next in our growth and development. Maybe that could be a possibility. We have a little bit of disconnection there, and hopefully this will come back as we have Karina Chrysler on today from KarinaChrysler.com. That's C-R-Y-S-L-E-R. And it's just been such a great thing, and we just had this turning off, but we are still connected here, and maybe she'll come back to tell you a little bit about Karina Chrysler's work. Is she is astrologer of magnitude. As you've been listening, you may get this back or get that concept. She's coming back. We had a little disconnection, but we're not disconnected. It's funny, your background behind you is moving like crazy, like you're in an elevator. I love it. It's like science fiction. She's going down into the depths of the earth to have this great story. Now she stopped. What floor level did you stop at? It's like you're going down in an elevator. So
Mercury retrograde. You have to expect these things on Mercury retrograde. My internet, everything has been so weird.
I had this show about 6 weeks ago. I keep trying to interview Annie Williams, And we always interview where I'm in America, she's in France, or I'm in France and she's in America. And every time we do it, the energy gets really high, really expansive. And then kaboom, the system shuts down and we lose the recording. It's really frustrating. I had asked you a question of breaking beyond the Pluto, almost like we're, you know, we keep going into the past and the shadow is being explored and expressed and people want an answer for that shadow a lot of times outside of them. And then in the fall, that seems to shift and change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, you'll know your Pluto in Capricorn cycles or the themes that kind of came up for you in this, which is really, you know, all about being sovereign in this life and finding your own personal authority, you know, and stepping away from the system. Like Hakeem is always, I'm North American, you know, I'm a North American woman and I married a very spiritual Egyptian man. So he's always bringing up the system that I still sometimes run in my mind that isn't aligned with, you know, who I am or my spirituality or anything. So you have to understand the system that you're staying in that isn't in alignment with really what you believe is the truth or who you are. And these are really hard patterns to break because I've been living them my whole life. So just having that active awareness of, you know, think of your day to day. Does this align with my happiness and my joy and my purpose and my talents? Do I feel inspired? Do I feel loved? And really ask those questions. And I'm encouraging a lot of my clients, not everybody, but my clients, I don't believe in protection like a shield. Mm. I believe in transmuting our light out, right? But I believe in this year, it's important to protect your energy in a way that you are spending your energy or you're using your energy in ways that are productive for you. Mm. So this is something really important to look at in your relationships, definitely your career, definitely how you're spending your time. So at the end of the day, am I so drained? I have nothing left. This is when I would question, am I in alignment with my truth? Mm.
Go ahead.
And this is even for myself, I'm such a sensitive person. And I'm just going to stay in my bubble a little bit, you know, work with my clients, stay in my truth. I can go down the rabbit hole of suffering very easily that I see in the world. And I don't want to be, ignorant of what's happening, but I also know better that bringing more fear or more pain or everything like that we see in the world into my life doesn't help me or what I can contribute to the world to change this.
That sounds very Buddhist, actually, because Buddha would say, create a greater love, which would be that proactive muscle that love builds everything. And love is like actualizing your dreams and actually loving you to where you get to be you in a happy, satisfying way. And that builds the aura of your body or your whole energetic being. So you don't need to defend yourself. You're so strong in it that you just move through the world.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to focus on your wishes and your dreams right now. And then ask, okay, so what is the inspired action I need to take to move one step forward even, you know, with that? Because, you know, I just recently sent out a newsletter talking about, you know, the holy longing I had for my relationship with Hakeem. You know, I was single for a very long time. But I knew that that love existed. I had lost hope. I kind of had to give up on it a little bit because I wanted to be happy in my life and, you know, longing for something and focusing only on that where it's like so contained doesn't make you feel good, doesn't make you expand.
It's so I had to surrender. It's the difference between happiness and joy. Yeah. Happiness is doing something that makes you smile, but joy is this wholeness and completeness and that vibrates in such a bigger intensity.
Mm-hmm. And I think if you really tap into, you know, that longing, that holy longing, because holy is pure. It's not because someone else told you about it or you're not looking at anyone else. It's you. It's going really deeply into you and what you long for. And start asking questions about that. Start revealing the layers of that, because that is the cosmic call to action right now. You know,
indeed. And it's a great time to get an astrological reading to really understand about your whole dynamics with that, but also your reflections and the ride and to, you know, do your meditations or your prayers or whatever to really push yourself to really see what that is on the other side. And we're coming to the end of our hour. So I want to ask you, like, you have a final message that can be under a minute. As I tell everybody, this, you think about that. This is Bart Sharpe, and our guest is Karina Chrysler from KarinaChrysler.com, and that's CRYSLER. She is an astrologer of magnitude, Egyptian astrologer, and she and her husband, Akeem Awan, lead tours in Egypt that are amazing. If I was to do a tour, I would do their tour. And I'm really itching to go, to be honest. They have a tour in October, or is it November?
November.
Excuse moi. But you can find it on her website, KarinaChrysler.com. And I am Bart Sharpe, and this is Becoming Quantum Conscious on United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network on Roku, UPRN, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and other internet platforms at 107.7, 105.3 out of the beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana. And it's been great to have you as usual.
Thank you.
What a fun Likewise. Hour. And so what? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And next week we have Kay Gardner, and we are going to be talking about divine feminine and feminine consciousness of today. Beautiful. Now. It'll be great. So
beautiful.
What final message do you have for us?
I would just give you the invitation to really understand, you know, what you're being initiated. What is the new beginning that you're being initiated with that's so connected to what you want to materialize in this life? And how can you ask the question, how can I become the warrior for this desire and for my own life? And nothing changes if nothing changes. So in this warrior energy, what can be that one step forward that I can take now?
Indeed. Nothing changes if nothing changes. That's right. Love that quote.
I don't know where it comes from, but it's one of my favorites.
Well, blessings to you, Karina, and I hope to see you soon. And until next week, everybody, we'll see you. Bart Sharpe, Becoming Quantum Conscious. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
for now.
Everyone. Bye, hon. Thank you.